I know you've not had a lot of time to look at it, but if you take a look at the five statements that we had on the slide, you might look for a key theme. The Atlantic Ocean is saltier than the Pacific. Coal is black. Today is Sunday. Man needs oxygen to survive. And then number five, there are new 200-pound human babies. Now, you might look at those statements and think, wow, that really covers a wide area. What is the similarity in those five statements? The similarity is that all five of those statements are true. We can take statements from different aspects of life and say that each one is correct. It would not be, as you look at these five statements, surprising to find that there is, if not a 100% universal agreement, just about 100% agreement. Now, if people can agree that the Pacific Ocean is less salty than the Atlantic, if people can agree that coal, true coal, is black, if we can agree that a certain day is Sunday, if we can agree that man needs oxygen, and if we can agree that no woman gives birth to a 200-pound human baby, my question is, why are there so many differences when it comes to Christianity and the Bible? Why is it that there are hundreds, if not tens of thousands of people, and certainly hundreds of religious groups? They all claim to follow Christ. They all claim to believe the Bible. They all claim to be God's people, and they're all different. There are a number of reasons for that. I'm not going to claim that I have an exhaustive list of reasons, but I do want to cover some of those reasons this morning, and we begin with this second slide. One reason that we find as far as the differences in so-called Christendom, people involved with different denominations, is that some people have wanted to make a name for themselves. In today's world, you find that there are some people who will talk about their church, especially if they're looking at this from a leadership position. There are well-known religious groups, a number of them, and we don't have to list them, they're obvious, but there are a number of religious groups who claim to be founded by some man. Back in the 1500s or 1700s, or you can go back even further, there were people who said, we're going to, and maybe their intentions were good, but we're going to form a new group. We're going to have a new offshoot of Christianity. And then there's some groups, you see this even with some church signs. Not only elevate a man, but they honor a man versus Christ, at least in some respects. Anytime there is a group, anytime there is someone who decides to put a man in the kind of position that we are talking about, there are going to be differences. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says the focus needs to be on Christ. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. If there is a group which is somehow built on or around some other man, someone other than Jesus Christ, there will be differences guaranteed every single time. When people center a religious group partially or fully around a man, they will promote and they will help perpetuate religious confusion. Tied in with this is what we have in Acts chapter 20 and verse 30. We talked about that a little bit this morning, Paul, in talking to the elders at Ephesus. He said, from among your own selves shall men arise. They're going to speak perverse things. Well, that was bad. But then Paul gives a reason for that. Why are they going to do that, Paul? He says they want to create their own following. They want to have their own group. They are going to draw away the disciples to what? To themselves. When you look at a lot of cults, this is how the cult operates. There have been people who have arisen, sometimes men, sometimes women, and they have brought people to themselves. They've called attention to themselves. If you want religious division, if you want to stop religious division, then you point people away from men and you point people to Christ and His Word every single time. When you have individuals who serve as some kind of authoritative source, religion division is also going to follow every single time. You may remember in Matthew chapter 17, the Transfiguration. I didn't put that on the slide, but Jesus, it was time to have that tabernacle experience, Peter thought, and the Lord said, come on up here. And they did. And then the Father said, hear ye him. That is the Son. Don't pay attention to people like Moses anymore. Don't pay attention to people like the prophets, Elijah, and the other prophets that we read about. Hear the Son. That's also the message that we have in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God spoke to different people in times past. He used different methods in times past. But God says, now hear the Son. If religious division is not due to someone other than Christ, it is probably going to come from wrong doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, the first part of the verse says this, for the time, the day, the period, Paul says, is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice the word doctrine. Another word for that would be teaching. When it comes to doctrine or teaching, there are people who have a variety of religious beliefs. Someone says, this is our doctrine. Our church has this teaching or this doctrine. If a religious group has a doctrine or teaching, which corresponds to a person's religious beliefs, they'll probably say that group is good. If, on the other hand, they meet up with a religious group, and that religious group has a doctrine or teaching which is different from what the person believes, then it's usually deemed to be unacceptable. Paul did not say, in this passage or anywhere else, find a church which matches what you believe. Oftentimes, that is how people pick a religious group. He did not say, find a church which corresponds with your existing beliefs. Neither of those ideas are in the Bible. Scripture talks about sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. That's the meaning of sound. That sound doctrine, that healthy doctrine, is the one faith that Paul talked about in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. Think again about the five statements I have laid out. The Atlantic is saltier than the Pacific. Coal is black. Today is Sunday. Man must have sleep to survive, and there are no 200-pound human babies. Suppose someone were to say that there is zero salt content in the Atlantic and the Pacific. Or someone were to say to us, I believe that the color of coal is purple. Or someone else, when Sunday comes, says, I believe that today is Tuesday, or I don't believe in Sunday at all. People could have all kinds of ideas. They could have all kinds of beliefs. But even though they have those differing beliefs and ideas, that doesn't mean that they're true. That doesn't mean that they are acceptable. When it comes to Christianity, we have objective truth. God says there is a standard, and that standard is that sound doctrine. But just as people don't want to always accept facts in the real world, in the physical realm, there are people who sometimes will not accept those facts in the spiritual realm. But God says there is one way. You can invent different ways, and you can have offshoots of the right one way, but there is, at the end of the day, only one way. As I look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, where Paul says they will not endure sound doctrine, I'm inclined to wonder if there is sound doctrine, is there unsound doctrine? Well, that would at least be a possibility. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, you do find that Paul talks about unsound doctrine. He says there are things which are contrary to sound doctrine. There are things which are the opposite. They conflict or they contradict sound doctrine. So yes, there is unsound doctrine. We have religious division. Number one, because some people have not yet come to understand that there is sound doctrine. There is only one way. When people do not understand that, we will have religious division. And then if people do understand that there is sound doctrine, we have division because some will not follow it. Jesus is the one who made salvation possible. And he's given us heaven's plan. We either follow him and his plan, or we partially or fully agree with someone else. And ultimately, we replace him and his plan, fully or partially, with someone and something else. All too often, there are people that are content to alter his way in one way or another. And every time that happens, whether that deviation is small or whether it is large, religious division is the ultimate outcome. Now, someone says, well, you put up 2 Timothy 4:3, the first part of the verse, but what about the rest of the verse? That's good, too. Let's look at it. He says, but, moving to a contrast, he says there are going to be some people that are going to have ears. And those ears are going to itch. And because of those itching ears, he says they're going to heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. It's not uncommon for us to hear people talk about their stomach. And I'm not talking about an upset stomach. I mean, there are people who will say, I can't stomach that. I don't have the stomach for that. When someone uses that kind of expression, they are saying, I am going to decline as far as my interest in eating that food. When I say I don't have the stomach for that, that's an activity that I just don't feel like I want to participate in. Paul said a time was going to come when people would not have the stomach for sound doctrine. There would be, Paul said, there would be some people who want to have spiritual junk food. There are going to be people who are going to shop around, and they're going to look for the church of their choice. They're going to look around until they can find a religious group which matches, which corresponds with their belief. Just like Acts chapter 20, there are going to be people who will want to hear a certain doctrine or teach a certain doctrine, and they're going to get it. If there's ever been a time in the history of Christianity where 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 is true, I suggest it is now. People can pick up Google on their phone and some other methods, tablet, PC, whatever it is, and they can find somewhere someone saying that they are A-okay. Here is for me the ultimate example of that. Just 5 years ago, there is a religious group which is one of the most well-known religious groups in the world. And that group came out with this conclusion. The Jews do not need Jesus to be saved. Can you believe that? People who claim to be great followers of Christ said, the Jews do not need Jesus to be saved. That's about as heretical as you can get. That's about as far off course as you can possibly be. And yet this came from a huge, a massive religious group. A long time ago, there was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah, and in chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, Jeremiah had some people who were religiously off in his day and time. And through Jeremiah, God said this: these people are telling you peace and peace, safety, all is well, don't worry, you're fine. But God said they're declaring peace when there is no peace. God said that message, which was not sound doctrine in Jeremiah's day, all of that information was a bald-faced lie. You see, one of the reasons that there is religious division in the world is that people want it. They crave it. They're eager to embrace it. And there are people who are willing to sell them what they want to hear. They have those itching ears. Now someone says, well, I just can't believe that anybody would want a religious lie. Certainly we'd never find that kind of thing in the Bible. Well, let's check it out. How about from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11? Here's what Paul said. He talks about the people who perish. Well, clearly those are going to be the people who are not going to go to heaven. He says they're going to be lost. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie. There are a lot of people, when they look at these verses, they focus on God sending people a lie. And they say, that bothers me, that troubles me about God. Well, it shouldn't. And it shouldn't trouble us because of what's said in the previous verses. Paul says, here are people, the truth was available. That one faith was available. They could have known the truth. They could have followed the truth. They could have clung to the truth. But these people, they didn't want the truth. They wanted a lie. They had itching ears. They wanted information which was religious falsehood, just like those in Jeremiah's day. So rather than following the truth, they said, we will be involved with what is false and erroneous. There are people in life, they don't want to know the truth, or they maybe want to know it and then refuse to follow it. More and more we see in our world there are people who are offended. I mean, they are just really put out when information from Scripture is presented to them. But for those involved in false doctrine, whether it is a big lie, like the one I mentioned just a little bit ago, you don't have to know Christ or follow him if you're a Jew, whether it is a large lie or whether it is a little lie, God says, I'm going to permit you to have that lie. If this is what you want, if you want your ears religiously to be scratched and itched, God says, I will permit that. He gives us free will to embrace any kind of religion that we want. But you know something? When it comes to lying, that often comes with a bad ending. And that's always true in the spiritual realm. Since the beginning of time, and certainly as we think about the Christian faith, people have been involved with false religion. Christianity, for the last 2,000 years, people have been promoting or advancing various alternative forms of spirituality. And we find that in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Paul, as he talks to the Colossians, he says, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Well, Paul says some people were making up religious rules. You don't have to stick with that. Jesus gives us all that we need. But in the Colossian letter, he talks about some people who were being told, don't touch this, don't taste that, don't go there. And Paul says that is false doctrine. These people are promoting an alternative form of religiosity. Now, in the New American Standard, that's not usually the version that I quote from, but I like Colossians 1:28 because it says complete. Most other translations will use the word perfect, and perfect is certainly a very fine expression of the point, but complete, I think, is also extremely useful for what we're looking at today. Christ makes us complete. Jesus' word makes us complete. And if that's true, we do not need anyone or anything else. If we look to someone else like a man, we've added to God's plan, and heaven is not pleased. If we say that God's word is not sufficient to complete us, then again, we're looking for some other document, and that really impugns what God says about his word. Anytime we take Christ, or take the system that he's given us, that perfect system, and we somehow tamper with it, whether it is a little tampering or a lot, we create a flawed system of religion, and we end up promoting some form of false religion. And there are people who, perhaps ignorance, they don't really study the Bible, they lack diligence, and because they are not diligent, that also leads to religious division and confusion. Paul told Timothy, that young man, he said, give diligence. I want you to present yourself approved unto God. I want you to be like a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed. And when it comes to that word, which word it is, the word of truth, it is that one faith. He said, I want you to use it in the right way. I want you to handle that. I want you to deal with that in such a way where it is always dealt with in the proper way. In the New Testament, we find multiple places where the word diligence is used. God tells his people, I want you to study. I want you to examine the scriptures. I want you to make sure that you don't head off in some wrong direction. You handle aright the word of truth. You be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. You check the things daily to make sure that you're not headed off in the wrong direction. I see a lot of indications in our world of people who are not too diligent. Sometimes people use a computer and they are not diligent about keeping up with the firewall. And they realize that they've got a significant data problem. They've lost data or they picked up an infection, which is very expensive to repair. There are some other people, they drive their vehicle and they're not diligent. They never pay attention to whether or not a tire looks low. They never pay attention to whether or not their vehicle might be running out of oil. They never do anything. They just wait for the trouble light to come on. Check your engine. It's done. Well, that's not the best way to live, is it? Laxness abounds. And sometimes that laxness is in the church. Paul told the Philippians, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he said, when it comes to your salvation, when it comes to the spiritual part of life, he says, you work it out. You pay attention. You focus on this. You use some diligence. Why? He says it requires fear and trembling because we can be lost. All too often, people feel good about their faith, that religious lie oftentimes, and they just drift along. And that drifting, that lack of study, those two things are two more contributing factors to the religious division we see in the world. There are a lot of reasons why religious division exists, but maybe one of the biggest was given by Jesus many years ago. Notice Matthew 19:29, and he says, everyone, each person that has left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. Religious division exists in many places and cases because of family and friends. Think of young people. Have you known a young person who said, well, I'm about ready to graduate high school and I'm going to go off to college. I want to find a university to go to. Where are you going to go? Well, I'm going to go here because my friend is there. Ever hear someone say that? Or if it's not that, I'm going to join the military. Why? Well, my buddy joined up and I want to serve with him. People do that. People want to go. They want to be where their friends and their families are. If people do that in the world, do you think that people do that in the church, in the religious realm? They do. Well, I go to this group because my family has been there for generations. This is my family church. I go there because that's where my brother goes. Or I go there, that's because of my good friend. We all are there together when that group meets. Compare the natural tendency to stay with loved ones to what Jesus says on the slide before us, Matthew 19 and verse 29. Every single person, Jesus says what? That went across town to worship with that religious individual. No, Jesus says you have left. You have parted ties with your family members. Well, why would someone do that? Jesus said that to follow him, sometimes we're going to have some separations in life that are unpleasant. And those separations may involve family members. Jesus said some will leave mom or dad to side with me. Those closest family ties that people have. Now, some might say, well, I've always kind of looked at that as maybe some unbelieving family members. There are going to be some divisions there, and that could be true. Someone else says, well, I've always kind of thought about that as far as, maybe Jesus was talking about if we've got some family members that are involved with Eastern religions like Hinduism or witchcraft or Buddhism, those kinds of things, and that could also be true. But Jesus' words also apply to religious division. My family is going to go over here to this group, which does some things that God doesn't approve of. But because I'm also part of the family, I'm going to be over there with them as well. That's how the world thinks, doesn't it? But what did Jesus say? That's not my way. Even if there are family ties to a false religious group, Jesus says that is not enough to be part of that group. Stay away religiously from that organization. Can you still have Sunday lunch together? Sure. Can you still get together for other times during the year? Yes. Can you still be family? Yes. But religiously, you have to cut that tie to religious error. He said that's part of the cost of being my disciple. When someone learns about sound doctrine, and they find that loved ones, maybe family members, are involved with unsound doctrine, a choice, A choice which may seem to be very difficult must be made. Will that person side with their family and the religious error that they're in, or with Christ and the truth? Now, and this has been going on for a long time, there have been some people who have said, well, family is so important to me, I'm going to go over there. It's probably not quite right. I wish some things were different. Maybe I can be a good influence and change some things, but I'm going to go over there and be with them. Every single time that choice is made, that helps promote, that helps keep religious division and error intact. If we can figure out the five truths that we have here and say, yes, the Atlantic is saltier than the Pacific, and yes, coal is black, and yes, today is Sunday, and yes, man must have sleep to survive, and yes, no women give birth to 200-pound human babies. If we can figure out the truth in these areas, can we not look at the Bible and see the truth when it comes to the spiritual realm? Can we not look at Scripture and ask the question, did Jesus Christ come to this world 2,000 years ago, and did he create a religious denomination? That's the simple question. And the answer to that question is very easy. It is either yes or it is no. And if the answer to the question is no, then we certainly would not want to be part of that religiously, would we? Because that's not what Jesus created. If the answer to the question is yes, and some might answer the question in that way, then the follow-up question would be, well, which denomination did Jesus create? And then we want to be part of that group. We want to be part of the church, that one faith that Christ created. We do not want to be part of the unsound doctrine. Religious division exists, but it doesn't have to. And it wouldn't if people would simply turn to the Bible and read it. If we can figure out the truth, and again, we could have given 500 statements where people would have gone right down the line and said, yes, no, as far as the truth or the falsity of different things, we can figure out the truth when it comes to Christianity. Part of that truth is becoming a Christian. Must I have faith to please God? What's Hebrews 11:6 say? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Well, the answer to that question is yes, we have to have faith. What about repentance? Jesus said, repent or perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. What about confession? Well, you have a Bible example of that in Acts chapter 8. What about baptism? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. And then what about faithfulness? Be faithful even to the point of death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Those statements are too plain to misunderstand. And God's plan is so simple. We can be part of that church which Jesus built, faithfully serve him, and go to heaven. That's summing up everything in a very simple way, just a few steps. And that's how the Bible lays it out. This morning, we may live in a sea of religious confusion, but we don't have to be part of it. Encourage people to leave that behind and be part of the church which Christ created. If you want to be part of that church, and we can help you become part of that church or strengthen you in your relationship with Christ as a member of his kingdom, will you let us know how we can do that and how we can do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.